Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. My name's Nicholas. And in this segment, we're going to change the topic. I think I'd like to talk about the false prophet a little bit. Another debate I see on the internet, another belief is that the false prophet is not the Antichrist. There are people that are teaching that, and because it seems like, where did I see that at? Anyway, I think it might even been direct answer to me and my proclamation that I believe the false prophet is the Antichrist, that I can't see any other alternative. Many people say that the false prophet and the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 are the same person, so to speak. And I believe this is, speaking of E.B. Elliott and his Horae Apocalypticae, well, this is kind of where he goes towards the end of that, if you read the Horae Apocalypticae. And I think that's because he couldn't clearly see, because of the era that he was writing in, that who the second beast was. So I want to talk about that a little bit more. And thank you for that WW in the chat room there. He says, I love the horeapocalyptica.wordpress.site. I just put a link in the chat room. So if you're listening, as I can see, most people have dropped out of the chat room. Go back to the chat room and get that link. And that way, or you can type it in yourself if you can spell horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com. And as I finish each chapter, I'm posting them. So, and this is my part of my full-time job right now. I'm focused on this. So I'm spending like, you know, up to 6 hours a day going through this and doing a final edition edit of the Horae Apocalypticae. Like I said, as I finish each chapter, and I'm going to go through all four volumes, as I finish each chapter, I'm going to post them there so you can have a final edition. Now, I'm not making any changes, or I'm not editing or correcting anything on this. This is going to be original. The only corrections I'm making are for grammar and language, because there's some obsolete and some very confusing, archaic sentence structure in the Horae Apocalypticae, and I'm only focusing on like maybe the 10 or 15% most archaic of the language and sentence structure so that people can read it in more contemporary terms and have a better understanding. Like I said, I'm only focusing on the worst where you go, it turns your head and you go, what? You know, because sometimes the sentences could be, you know, a third or a half a page long. Now, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit more. Maybe in the old version they were in the PDF of the picture of the 150-year-old documents, they're that long. But anyway, so I'm not changing it, and I'm not going to, it's going to be true, the Horae Apocalypticae. Anyway, so yeah, please check that out there and spread it around. Okay. Let's see. False prophet. Good topic. Who is that? Oh, the false. Okay. So WW is saying, who is the false prophet? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at some of the scripture and the references to the false prophet there. First of all, the false prophet really, as far as I can find, besides where it says that he's being thrown into the fire where the beasts are, let's see, where the beast and the false prophet are. Okay. See, I don't believe the beast and the false prophet are the same person. The devil that deceived them. So we see these three characters here. The devil, that is Satan, the dragon. Okay. Okay. See, remember these three frog-like spirits come out of these three characters. One being Satan, the devil. And so we know who that is. They're cast in the lake fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and the false prophet, are they the same thing? Well, no. Because people try to identify the false prophet. I'm looking at chapter 20, verse 10. Okay, and this is where one other place where the false prophet is named, is where his judgment comes. But they're already there at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, but the devil, who was let out of his prison for a little season for the Gog-Magog conflict to organize that, then he's thrown where they are, into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. But we're never told exactly who the false prophet is. But is it the second beast of Revelation chapter 13? Well, that's the question. Okay? So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 13 here. I can put that on the screen for you. I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And of course, we know this sea beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, and we recognize this as symbolic of the Roman Empire through its several phases in its history. And so there's plenty of evidence as to that. Okay? They worship the dragon who gave power to the beast. So we have the dragon and the beast, both of these characters here, who's like unto the beast. There was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Who was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy? Well, the beast was. But what does this mouth represent? Because this is symbolic. Okay? The mouth speaking is a symbol of a man who represents the beast to the people on the earth. It's like in America, every 4 years, all of the voters go out and they vote, and they vote for who they want to be the mouth of the American beast. And so he speaks. He is the American beast. When Obama went on travel over the world, he was speaking for America, because he was the mouth of the beast. Okay, understood? So he was given, the beast was given a mouth. Okay, that's the antecedent. And there was given unto him, the antecedent of him is the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. So what does this mouth represent? Well, it represents whoever the president or presiding persona is of the beast on earth. Well, it could be the false prophet for a time, and it was in history, but let's continue. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Okay? So under this condition of having this mouth was given to continue 42 months, controlling the beast. And he opened his mouth, there, the mouth again, in blasphemy against God, and to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. So this indicates that the mouth is some type of anti-Christian power. Well, who could it be? Yeah. And it was given him to make war with the saints. He did it, overcome them, and given over to all kindreds and tongues and nations. Well, this is all history, as we know. This is describing the first beast that came out of the sea and some of its history here in Revelation chapter 13, so we can identify who we're talking about here. And all the dwelling upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So who do they worship? They worship the beast. They worship the mouth that speaks for the beast. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And now we get to it. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So we see there's another beast. Could this be the false prophet? Could this other beast be the false prophet? Well, how can a beast and a false prophet be the same thing? Isn't a false prophet someone who is a spiritual guide that would deceive and lead people astray? Wouldn't the better fit for the false prophet be the mouth that was given to the beast for 1260 years? That would be a better fit, wouldn't it? Can you ignore the fact that in chapter 13 here, that I don't even believe the term is false prophet is used? So this has to be a total speculation on the part of anyone who says the second beast and the false prophet are the same person. One, it's a beast, and beasts are one category. False prophet would be more in the category of the mouth, or the Antichrist, or the man of sin, a spiritual, someone who is a religious leader in the Roman earth. Okay? So we have this other beast coming up out of earth, two horns like a lamb. He exercised all the powers of the first beast before him. So to exercise beast power, well, he has to be like the beast. He has to be a beast. So what does the scripture say a beast is? So that we can just put it to rest. This whole idea that the second beast is the false prophet, or is the Jesuits, or is a person, or is the Antichrist. See? Because the Antichrist represents the beast, like Obama represented America when he was president, or whoever's president. You know, you say, they look at him, well, he is America. He's speaking for America. When he speaks, America speaks. So when the mouth of the beast speaks, the beast speaks. But the beast isn't always under the power of the Antichrist, ruled and reigned for 1260 years. He doesn't speak for the beast throughout its whole history. So anyway, I'm going to open up. I got my book here. And this is Key to the Apocalypse. And I republished Key to the Apocalypse, H. Grant Ann Guinness. You can find that on my website. It has a red cover, Key to the Apocalypse. And I added a chapter 7 to it, addendum 2017, because here we are, you know, over 100 years later from when H. Grant Ann Guinness published it. And I start out that chapter by saying, since H. Grant Ann Guinness published the original Key in 1899, several events have become abundantly clear in the history of the Revelation, or I should have said, as part of the history of the Revelation. One, the Vatican or papacy, the head that was wounded on effect of the French Revolution. Well, that wound was healed in 1929. When the Vatican once again regained its sovereign political status on the world stage and has moved to a prominent position amongst all the nations. Number two, the status of America on the world stage has greatly increased to an undeniable place of prominence and power among the nations. Three, the United Nations has been created as a worldwide governing authority, which continues to increase in power over all the nations. So we take these things into consideration with our view of the Revelation, which E.B. Eliot, H. Grant Ann Guinness could not fully comprehend or comprehend at all before they happen, because we're historicists. Only when something happens do we relate it to prophecy. We don't go into speculation. And I believe that's one of the problems with the historicist interpretation. It's always a problem. It's always going to be a problem, because where do you draw the line? Because you're moving along and you're going, well, this fits perfectly, 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 until you get to the point where you are in history. And then you're saying, well, you're trying to fit things into history that aren't there. So you have to speculate. You speculate. If it doesn't fit, well, you move it back into future. So there has to be a certain amount of speculation with historicist interpretation. And I believe that's where E.B. Eliot speculated on. He said that because he couldn't find a place, he couldn't find the second beast in history. So he speculated that the second beast represented the clergy. But the clergy is not a beast either. And that's what I said about in this chapter of my book. And you can get that book, free or otherwise, at my website. There's a free book tab there, and there's a get the book tab there. But also have this chapter in here as an addendum in when the third temple is built. I'm going to get that because I stopped reading this. I mean, I stopped when I was writing this. I stopped and updated and wrote this chapter for A Key to the Apocalypse for its republication. Then I finally finished this other book, When the Third Temple is Built. So anyway, that's a little history of how a contemporary historicist author writes. We have to do a lot of studying, I'm telling you. So here it is, interpreting the earth beast of Revelation 13 by the criteria in divinely given interpretation of the four preceding beasts as revealed in Daniel and the Apocalypse. So if you want to know what a beast is, and whether a beast can be a false prophet or the clergy or the Jesuits, as many have speculated, well, you have to go to the scripture and say, what does the scripture say a beast is, so that I don't misapply this symbol into something that isn't. So that's what I did here. Daniel 7, 3 through 6. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, the second like to a bear, and the third like a leopard. Compare this with Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. See, up from the sea, Daniel 7:37, and Revelation 13:1, up out of the sea. There's a clue there, you know, that what we're talking about, that this is the Roman Empire. Okay. Having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. We notice that all of these sea beasts, seeing there's three here in Daniel, and then there's this one in Revelation. Okay? And it's the fourth one of Daniel, actually. We notice that all these sea beasts come up from the same place, the sea. We also notice that all of these beast powers were original in themselves and only incorporated the others when they conquered them consecutively. So what do we learn from scripture, from history, from, you know, divine interpretation of prophecy itself? That beasts, when they appear, they are original power in the earth. Now, they may be swallowed up by a beast that comes along, or another original power in the earth, as the first three were. All the first four beasts were all original powers in the earth. One after another, until the Roman Empire swallowed and gobbled them all up. So, they were original in themselves and only incorporated the others when they conquered them consecutively. The fourth beast devours the three beasts that were before it, and therefore inherits the attributes of the three before it, the leopard, bear, and lion. And that is from verse 2 of the Revelation. Let's put that up there, chapter 13, verse 2, so you can see it for yourself. Okay? And the beast I saw was like unto a leopard, the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. Going back to my book here, and we see the Daniel reference. See, the first was like a lion, the second like to a bear, and the third like a leopard of the first three beasts that the fourth beast swallowed up and conquered. So it has these attributes. Okay? So, each of the sea beasts, as they were introduced, was an original power in the earth, as all of them were. Any division of beasts may be represented by the introduction of horns, crowns, and crowns in succession as you move from the body toward the heads and horns. But the body is always the same beast. 3, that these beasts rose up from the sea, signifies that they all rose up from the same locality that was ultimately dominated by the Roman Empire. Here is another divine interpretation that we get from the scripture of the symbol of the sea. The fourth beast of Daniel 7 and the sea beasts of Revelation 13 rose up from the sea. And this is a locality specified for the origin of all sea beasts. And of course, we get that from the Revelation itself, where it says that the sea represents peoples and multitudes and nations and tongue, and obviously the locality of the old world Roman Empire. The old world, as opposed to the new world. So we have the introduction of the earth beast here. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, another beast. That means it's going to meet all of the criteria of the four beasts before it. It is going to be original. Okay? Remember that? Each of the sea beasts, as they were introduced, was an original power in the earth. So, it follows that this new beast, another beast, has to be an original power in the earth. Okay? Now, it rises up out of the earth, okay, a power in the earth being actual, literal, but rising up out of the earth is as symbolic as rising up out of the sea. It doesn't mean that they actually came up out of the, that there's a physical beast that comes out of the ocean. It represents what the scripture says it represents. And these representations are clearly given of these symbols in the scripture. And just read the whole key to the apocalypse. Divinely given interpretations of prophecy from the scripture that are the key to understanding these symbols. Okay? So the earth beast is introduced. The earth beast is for the first time introduced as an original power at the same time when the sea beast has 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Yeah. At the same time, and this beast rises up, if it is like I believe, America, rising up in a locality that is not the same as the locality of the sea beast, being the symbol of the place it rises up from is different than the symbol of the sea, where the sea beasts, the four sea beasts rose up out of the sea. This one rises up out of the earth. So symbolically different, and I believe opposite of the symbol, the sea beast. And we'll continue with this. And really we're talking about who is the false prophet. And this is part of unraveling that riddle. So we'll continue that when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Ah, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's our Prophecy Reality Edition. We do this once a week, every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. So if you're listening and you're available, you can come over to FirstAmendmentRadio.com chat room and join us. We have the studio cam on, and you can join the conversation in the chat room and watch this broadcast live and even participate by calling in. Today, the last couple weeks, we had some lively discussion and quite a number of callers and questions because that was the nature of those broadcasts. But the nature of the broadcast today is most people just want to listen because we're diving in deep. This is no light topic. To have a better understanding of God's Word is helpful when trying to understand these things. But we are dealing with God's Word, and God's Word has power to change lives. So whether you, just pray the Holy Spirit gives us all understanding, and the Holy Spirit moves my lips and opens my mind and your mind to understand the things that we're speaking of and what is true and what is from God and what is a Holy Spirit interpretation of His Word. We all want to agree on those things, And that is the conclusion we want to come to. Now, most people, a lot of people would be more well received by something that is not so academic. And so I want to put a call out there. There's some very popular authors over the last 50 years or so who wrote about the false prophecy, and they popularized it with books like The Late Great Planet Earth, somewhat academic, but also a lot of fictional series, and that was the Left Behind series of Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye. Well, how do you combat that? But writing a fictional, speculative account of what is actually going to happen. Of course, their focus was on the return of Christ in these terrible 7 years called the Great Tribulation. Well, they missed the whole point. My great hope is not a 7-year tribulation period. So I'm putting the call out there. If we got any fiction writers that have any that are any good at all, maybe we can put our heads together and come up with a fictional series on the return of Christ and what is actually going to happen, what it is really going to be like. And really, you have to sit down and spend some time talking about these things, maybe hours and hours just talking and getting ideas, kicking ideas to write, to come up with a series that might become popular and you know, feed people a more realistic interpretation of what it's going to be like when Christ returns in the millennium, and one that does not defy, but that is in line with true prophecy. Yeah, think about that. So nobody's done that yet. At least I haven't seen it done. And I did that. I alluded to it there in the series I just completed last week on the alien invasion and return of Christ with his saints to rule and take over the governments of the earth and the rule of the immortals, etc., that we went through in over the last month. So I'm putting the call out there if anyone's interested in collaborating on something like that. I would really be interested in it. Hopefully you have a good internet connection in Skype so that we can, if we decide to work together, that we can put our heads together and come up with something that has some real Holy Ghost power to it, rather than just the futurist nonsense of building upon that wall of false prophecy. Anyway, just an idea, something I'd like to see happen out there that might reach a much wider audience. And yeah, maybe we have some real movies made of what it's going to be like during the millennium with immortals reigning upon the earth. What is the return of Christ really going to be like when Christ returns and we're not raptured and dealing with the left behind and planes crashing and all that nonsense, but we disappear from where we're at, but we appear with Christ. What's that going to be like? What is the showdown or the okay corral scene going to be like when Christ returns and lays down his ultimatum for the kings of the earth, for the beast government of the earth, and says, I'm here to rule and reign and take over? I mean, there's going to be an announcement, and they're all going to say no, that you can see it now coming. You know, you see all the alien invasion fiction out there, that how people will react if there's an alien invasion. Well, we will be the alien invasion. How's that all going to play out? Because Christ, being a just king, when he appears for his domain, because he owns the earth, okay, and he lays down his ultimatum for the nations of the world, the beast government of the world, okay, what's going to happen? What are they going to say? Their answer is going to be, you know, we have to get together and we have to kill this, you know, this threat, this alien threat from another planet or whatever. How's that going to play out? You see where I'm going with this. So, yeah. If you think you got it in you, well, contact me and maybe we can do something. Okay, let's go back to our topic we're talking about. I think we've laid it out pretty clearly, or I've laid it out for you pretty clearly, that the false prophet cannot be a beast, and a beast cannot be a false prophet. False prophet could, however, be the mouth of the beast, speaking great things and blasphemy, and I believe he was. That's right. I believe he was for 1260 years, the mouth of the beast, speaking great things and blasphemy. And why do I say that? Why? So I don't believe he can be a beast, and that the second beast cannot be. So let's quickly get through this here. The introduction of the earth beast. The earth beast is for the first time introduced as an original power. So the beast has to be an original power in the earth, and it has to be a governing authority upon the earth, which I believe America qualifies for. And we'll go through this quickly. The earth beast did not rise up from the same locality as any of the sea beasts, because it rose up from the symbolic earth, whereas the sea beast rose up from the symbolic sea, representing multitudes of nations and tongues and people, where the earth would represent the opposite, as land is opposite of water. Okay? So we must not look at the area dominion of the old world Roman Empire for its place of origin. We must look at the beasts at the direct description and attributes of this earth beast given in the text to determine its origin and identity. That's what we must do. We must look at the text. It's described as coming up out of the earth, so it comes up from a different locality. Okay? That would be a clue to its place of origin. This, as the symbolic earth is different from the symbolic sea, where the four previous beasts rose up, inasmuch as the actual earth or land is an opposite or different than sea or waters, we are given the interpretation of symbolic waters in chapter 17 as peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In searching for a clearly symbolic use of the word earth in the Revelation, I could find only one other reference, and that was at Revelation 12:16, where it says, "And the earth helped the woman and opened its mouth." So that's clearly symbolic. It is the only clearly symbolic use of the word for the word, the symbol earth, that it could find, because the earth doesn't have a mouth. That's symbolic of something happening upon the earth. So, "And swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." And how we interpret that, and you can read Revelation 12 for yourself. "The woman was spared from the dragon war on the remnant of her seed by a prepared place in the wilderness for the time, times, and half a time." And there we have that time period again, synchronizing with that same time period given by Daniel and other places in the Revelation. This is a synchronizing mechanism in the scripture to put all of these things together where they fit around this 1260-year period. And so this prepared place would have been outside the governmental sphere, tongues and nations and multitudes and people of the old world Roman Empire. So the conclusion would be that as a symbolic sea represents a locality that is densely populated, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, so the symbolic earth would represent the opposite, a locality that is a wilderness or sparsely populated when the earth beast has its origin. So the earth beast cannot be the false prophet, period. It said it spake as a dragon. So we know that there's dragon power there. And this new beast that rises up out of the earth, of course, in time, like all of the other powers in the earth that rose up and fell before it, it fell under the sway of the dragon power eventually. And that is another reason why I don't believe in a vicarious rule of Christ for a symbolic 1,000 years, but it has to be physical and literal, because only Christ, the King, can truly, once that dragon is cast into the pit for 1,000 years, rule and reign the earth without falling into apostasy. Okay, When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which tenth E.B. Eliot identifies as the falling away of Protestant England from the papal states, many had been fleeing to the New World, the wilderness, to escape persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada to the north was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London, still is. Mexico down through all of South America, Latin America. There's your clue. It's been called Latin America for a long time. That means it's papal ruled. It was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadores. And to this day, all of those nations still have the mark of the beast, as they are prominently made up of those who are members of that Roman church, and they worship the beast, they worship the Antichrist directly. In the New World, the only power that rose up, came to exhibit all the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast, is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. And so, anyway, you can read that in my book if you want to find out more information about that. Right now, we need to identify, well, who is the false prophet? How do we know that the false prophet is the Antichrist of Scripture? How do we know that? Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let's go way back to Deuteronomy, chapter 34 and 10. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit, for Moses had laid hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, I'm going to go to Acts 3:22. Okay. He says here, that was the scripture I was looking for, the reference here that our author is using or is referring to. For Moses said, truly said unto the fathers. So he's going back, he's referring to something Moses said. And I thought that was my other reference, but it wasn't exactly. But if it's written, then it must be true, because God's word is true. And if Moses said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Okay? We just read there, another prophet in Israel was not raised up like Moses. Okay? So it says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So that means all the prophets in Israel that came after Moses weren't like Moses. They were different than Moses. But here it is affirmed in Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. He says, you are the children of the prophets and the covenant with God made with our fathers, saying, Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. For unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. He shall send Christ, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So what is our author in Acts saying here? What is Luke writing here? And I don't know who the speaker is here exactly. I guess I should have looked that up. I believe this is James. Oh, then Peter saw it. He answered, okay, this is Peter speaking to the people. And what is Peter saying? He's saying that Jesus is that prophet. That Jesus is the true prophet. False prophets arose up, but Jesus is that prophet of whom Moses and all of the prophets spoke. So Jesus would be what? He would be that prophet. He would be the true prophet of Israel. So who would the false prophet be? Well, he would be the antithesis of Jesus. Someone who takes his place, usurps his power on earth. That's who the false prophet could be. So there's my contention, that the false prophet is a definite allusion to the man of sin, the Antichrist, someone who usurps the authority, power, and place of Christ on earth. And there's another reason why we can't have a millennial reign of Christ without Christ on the earth. Because anyone who would take the place of Christ and rule vicariously for him in his place would be Antichrist. Because that is what the very term Antichrist means. It means in place of, or vicariously taking the place of someone else. That's who the Antichrist is, the man of sin and the false prophet. And I believe that's a stronger argument than a complete speculation built upon Revelation chapter 13, which does not even use the phrase false prophet in it, to name the second beast of Revelation as false prophet. One. Number two, that it cannot be the clergy, as speculated by E.B. Eliot and others, and it cannot be the Jesuits, because they cannot, the second beast cannot be anything but a beast. So therefore, the false prophet cannot be any of those, but must be the only one is named as joining those spirits, because we see we have the spirit that comes out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. False prophet is the Antichrist mouth and the man of sin. Because the Antichrist, and I guess I could have built a better case for the Antichrist, is if you look for the end of the Antichrist, well, he's in the same place as the beast and the dragon in the end. He goes to perdition. And we see that the false prophet goes to perdition, only named as the false prophet instead of being named as the Antichrist. But he goes to the same place as the two other characters. Also, the only other character that is named as going to perdition, where the dragon and the beast go, is the Antichrist. So therefore, another indication that the Antichrist and the false prophet must be the same character. Because you'll never see named in the same place the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, and the dragon being cast into the fire at the same time, indicating that the false prophet and the Antichrist are two separate persons. But I believe that the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the false prophet all refer to the same person. And that is the man who sits in the seat of the papacy. And there you have it. The false prophet is the same. And Pope Francis today is sitting in the seat of the false prophet. And he is a false prophet because he speaks religiously on the political scene. Another indicator that the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the man of sin, all three are the same person. The mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the false prophet, all being the same person. Okay. I think I've about wrung that topic out, and I hope I've convinced my listeners of that. Well, that's not really key, and you know, we can disagree on that one. Let me check out the chat room here and see if we got any questions, comments, and well, we're running out of time, so I'm not going to ask anyone to call in. Gotta find out which button to push. The doom and punishment of grand enemy, the devil, is now cast into hell with his two great officers, the beast and the false prophet, tyranny and idolatry. And it sounds like it agrees with me. Interesting observation. Okay, so good point. So will the Antichrist be one of the mortals in the millennium? Definitely not. He will be cast into the... Anyway, we don't have time for that. But I believe you get it. Will there be a pope in the millennium? No! It will be the true Christ ruling and reigning from Jerusalem over the earth. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Make sure you don't miss it. You've been listening Across the Border. May the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom day by day.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get left behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.